Well, I'm going to continue my series on the power of prayer. The power of prayer is not to be just on Sunday. The power of prayer should be a part of our life. So why is prayer so important to man? And why did God give man the ability to communicate with him? When we look in the book of Genesis, in the very beginning, we can read about God giving Adam and Eve the duty to actually rule on this earth. And I want us to understand that God delegated to Adam and Eve the managerial responsibility to rule this earth with God being there. They were in the Garden of Eden and God was there instructing them. He said to rule and subdue the earth. So that was something in which God had delegated with God's support. But we know that Adam and Eve broke that divine communication and they broke fellowship, which removed them out of the Garden of Eden because of disobedience. It's amazing when you think of disobedience, how much it can affect our lives. God is wanting us to be obedient to his word. That has never changed from the very beginning of time when he created Adam and Eve. Does God really still communicate with us today? And the answer is yes. God did not say he would never communicate with man ever again just because Adam and Eve was disobedient. So mankind still has the ability to communicate with God through prayer. And isn't it also amazing in Jesus' life, he took time to spend time with the presence of God so he would know God's will for his life. Well, why would we think that that is not important for our life? That we'd say we do not have enough time or I'm too busy. And yet Jesus was the premium example to us of why prayer should be an important part of our life. So remember, God is still the ultimate owner of everything. God is sovereign. But even Satan wanted to exalt himself by taking away Adam and Eve's authority. And we know this by what the Word of God says, Satan caused the fall of man. But I want us to grasp this thought. God does want to communicate with you and I. But when Satan came and he deceived Adam and Eve, what happened was it brought a disconnect to how God wanted to communicate with man. And even in the beginning, if you looked at Genesis 1:29 and look at Genesis 3:8, you would see that when God said, "See now I've given you," he was talking to Adam. And so another part of that was is that when Adam and Eve had been deceived, it says in Genesis 3:8 that they went and hid themselves because they heard the Lord walking in the garden. And they hid themselves among the trees. So why is it that we think that God just wants to keep us separate from him and he's so far away, when we really should understand as believers, as Christian, God has given us direct access to the throne room of God. You and I have direct access to the throne room of God. And so when we look at this time, today we live in the church age, the dispensation of grace. And I want us to understand, because of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, God made a way for man to communicate again with him. Many times it's this way. Remember that they had the priests and those that would go to the priests. And then the priests would enter in the Holy of Holies. Well, because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, Jesus died and the veil was torn too, that you and I would have direct access to the throne room of God. We don't need to go to the priest. Jesus Christ is our high priest. Amen? We can rejoice in that. But if we were to see that verse where the veil was torn in two so that we could have direct access into the throne room of God, it comes through prayer. Let's look at Matthew 27:51. If we took time to seek God and understood the power of prayer, we would truly make him master over our life. And the reason why I'm saying that is when we go into prayer, what we're doing is we're saying, "I want to know your will, God. What is my assignment? What is my assignment, God? And so it isn't that we just pray on Sunday and bring all of our circumstances and situations before Him on Sunday. This is about a relationship with Him that we're to have every day so that we know the will and the knowledge of God of our life, so that we know the assignment that God has for our life. Amen. So in Matthew 27:51, it says, "Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, the earthquake and the rocks were split." Something happened here that was to get our attention. And I believe there's many believers that don't even see this verse. They don't understand the reason why that veil was torn from the top to the bottom. So when we think about this, I want us to understand how we have access to that room. Remember, it's whether we will access it in faith or doubt and unbelief. How do we access that room? Will it be by faith or doubt and unbelief? So when we look at our life, it's so important that we understand the why that we pray. It's important that we study the Word of God to know the promises of God. You know, even today, there's a huge church that is around this world that people will go to a priest to declare their sins. That there's a priest that has to speak to God, and yet we see that it's evident if we study the Word of God that you and I, if we're to look at Revelations 1:5, He says that I've made you kings and priests. And it's not of anything that we've done, it's by what He did on the cross to establish that fact, that we now have direct access to the throne room of God. So always understand, your prayers are very important. That you and I want to hear the voice of God, that you and I want to know His will, and that we have the knowledge of God so that we can live this Christian life successfully. Amen. So when we think of the promises of God, I'm going to just share a story. Early in this Christian walk, Susie and I discovered these promises, and we are still discovering those promises. See, we haven't arrived. Just because we're in a certain position, we have not arrived. When we got born again and we said, you know what, we're going to make a decision to serve the Lord. We're not going to go clubbing. We're not going to go do the bar scene. We're going to live for the Lord, just like Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. When you say that, there's going to be something demanded from you if you're speaking the truth. So then when we started going to a Bible study and searching the Word of God, it literally transformed us spirit, soul, and body, because we were getting the Word of God and it was transforming who we were. Because we weren't serving the world now, we were going to serve the kingdom of God. We were going to serve the God of righteousness, the God of morals. All right? And so that was transforming to us. But I want us to understand some things here where Susie and I, we discovered some things, and I praise the Lord to this day, that the foundation of our life was established on Christ, and that we were continuing to build on those promises of God that has literally affect our household today and will continue to affect our household. Amen? Because we're always growing. We should always be growing. All right? For example, we discovered this promise, fear. Fear is a tool of the devil that he loves to use a lot. Worry is another tool that he loves to use a lot. So when we got into the Word of God, most of the time you just think of the Word of God just for salvation, or the grace of God, and why we take communion, but yet it wasn't an in-depth lifestyle that once we started receiving the Word, it was just like, I got to have more. I got to have more of this. This is just like, boom, our world's just lit up. And it's like we just couldn't put down our Bible. It was like we were meeting at a Bible study, and we're just digging in the Word of God, and it just came alive where it was dead before. All right, so the word fear, turn to 2 Timothy 1:7. I believe it's worth us looking in the Word of God to understand what the promises of God are. Amen? 2 Timothy 1:7. Now think about this. For God has not given you a spirit of fear. Amen. Come on. God has not given me a spirit of fear. But yet there's many times Susie and I've been in fear. So then we had to start thinking, if God has not given us the spirit of fear, why are we fearing? Because it's not of God, it must not be good. So if fear is not of God, it must be from somebody else, the enemy. But yet every day we have the opportunity to get in fear. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. So then when we started getting the word, we said, what is this? This is new to us. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if it's not of God, it must be from the devil. Right? Must be an enemy of God. So then we started looking at this and say, but of power. So God has given us the spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of sound mind. So then when things would start coming in our direction that would cause us to be in fear and worry, we would let the scripture rise up in us and say, you know what? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. Father God, I thank you for a sound mind. I thank you for a sound mind. Devil, you're a liar. I have a sound mind in Christ Jesus. Susie and I still repeat this scripture now. Those are things that are promises of God saying, you know what? God is power. I'm a son and daughter of God. You know, he's given us a spirit of power. We have authority to live this life in authority. He's also given us a spirit of love. And if you're to look in the Word of God, we see the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. That's a nature of who he is. All right? But the part that I want us to understand is this. It says, he's given us a sound mind. Well, not one of us has it all together, but we can declare the word of God, saying, Father God, I thank you that you've not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. Father God, I thank you for that sound mind, because I don't want the devil to put a seed thought in my mind that's contrary to the word of God. Amen? So those are things that we would grasp to have it in our heart and mind, because on this journey in life, there are things that happen. They happen now. Amen? So let's look at Philippians 4, 6, and 7. This is about worry. The devil will try to use fear. He'll try to use worry. If you do not want the word to come alive in your life, then don't read it. Pastor, you just said don't read the Bible. You know what I'm saying. If you want the living God to work in your life, read the living word. Right? Okay, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing. And what does this world do? We're anxious for everything. Why can't I have my burger right now? Why can't I press the microwave and have it sooner? Why can't my TV's not working? Come on. But there's more things to that, right? Come on. The enemy will try to bring worry. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. If we would pray more, we would worry less. And yet we'll put worry over prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. There's a few things there that we should probably be more thankful for. Let your requests be made known to God. Now listen. Let your requests be made known to God. And the God of peace. Not anxiety. Not the God of anxiety. Not the God of fear. The God of peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Come on, let's put our trust in the Lord. We can be anxious in this flesh, but he says, I want you to walk by the Spirit so you won't be anxious. And when you walk by the Spirit, I want you to understand that the God of peace, which surpasses all your natural learning and your natural knowledge will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, notice that it says Christ Jesus, not Jesus Christ. So it goes from deity to humanity, from the spirit divine to humanity. See, the part of us is he already did his part. We have to do our part. He says, if you do this, then the God of peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Promise. Promise of God. Not your nature, his nature. Promise of God. Boy, God, I am having anxiety. When you declare it, you better finish it off by Christ Jesus. Because the enemy will try to capture your thought to stay in that anxiety rather than being set free. And the mind is the battleground. And he'll try to get you into the place of a bondage that will try to hold you there so that you and I don't receive that peace of God. Amen. I've faced it then when we first became believers, and we'll face it now. But I have to let those promises of God rise up within my spirit and my mind, just like you do. All right, strength. Strength. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, our marriage wasn't perfect. It'll never be perfect. But the thing is, there are moments in our relationship, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because right now I do not like her. Or she doesn't like me. But the love of God needs to resonate within that. You can get in a place where that's all you can rely on is the strength of Christ, because your own strength isn't working. And there are times that in your life, you're going to be at your wit's end of how something's going to finish as a result, because in our mind, we get preconceived ideas. And the devil wants to take us away from God's ideas to his preconceived ideas. And if he can stir our thinking, then he can hold us in bondage. But when we say, you know what? I'm going to trust in the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You might have somebody at work that you just can't stand. There's things that person at work may be saying insults about you, saying things behind your back, and you know what? You're going to have to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because you'd love to rip their lips off. You would like to vent in the name of Jesus. So the control comes in, I can do all things through Christ, meaning I'm going to live according to God's nature, not the flesh nature. That's why I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? All right. Let's look at health. Let's look at Psalms 103, 1 through 3. I'm giving you some words here to stir your spirit, because I know that this message today is powerful, and I know it's coming to you with the Spirit of God, and I know it's speaking to your heart and mind right now. Bless the Lord, all my soul. That's your mind, will, and emotions. The soul is mind, will, and emotions. Bless the Lord, all my soul, all that is within me. Not an intellect, all within my mind. All that is within me, spirit, soul, and body. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits. There's benefits? If somebody's looking for a new job, I say, how much will I get paid, and what are the benefits? And God's saying, trust in me, I've got benefits. Trust in me, I've got benefits. Bless the Lord, all my soul, spirit, soul, and body. He's got all the benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. I looked up the iniquities. It's in the Hebrew, it says avon, which means corrupted direction or a wicked, warped deeds by sin. You can be a believer and have iniquity. You can say you're a Christian and have corrupted direction. You can be a Christian and have warped deeds of thought. You need to get healed and change the way that you're thinking because they are a corrupted direction or a warped deeds. Some of your corrupted direction and warped deeds have been holding you in bondage that is not allowing the God to heal you. Let's bring it down. You know, I've been mad at that person for over 10 years and I'm still mad. Your corrupted direction and your warped deeds are holding you in sin, and he wants you healed of that sin. But because you won't forgive that person and repent, I am not going to heal you. Oh my gosh, is that right? Doesn't it say in there about forgiving others just as I've forgiven you? It's amazing how we want God to work on our account, not his. Let's finish it off. It says, who forgives our iniquities, who heals all your diseases. If he can take our sins away, he can take our diseases away. Let's go back. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Promises of God. All right, finances. Philippians 4:19. So Susie and I remember as we start this Christian walk, remember I'm talking about our early Christian walk, and it's still the same today. I'm still going to believe in the promises of God. We're going to believe in the promises of God. In Philippians 4:19, it says, my God shall supply all your need. It does not say needs. It says, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. One of the things that as Susie and I were looking at our life is we are all in need, right? We're all in need. But what I want us to understand this, live your life based off of his ability, not your own. And one of the things with Susie and I, we've seen different things in our life, and especially at the beginning, you know, we said, you know what? We need to understand that God sees what we have need of before we ask, but he's wanting us to ask and to trust and have faith in him. So it says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. When we leave this place, we are not going to take our money with us, right? God is faithful. He says, you know, I'll meet you right where you're at, but I need you to trust in me, not in yourself. But he wants us to use the gifts that he's used in us, then placed in us, to use for his glory. Amen? In the Western world, we are consumers. And we think we will not be happy until we have these things. But I've been in Africa where they didn't have nothing, and they're happier than the Americans because they don't have to worry about the registrations, the license plate, and did I put the right fuel in this? And come on, I got this car, I got this house, did I get insurance, do I have all these things? And the simplicity of life can have more meaning than the consumption of life. Amen? But yet God is saying, I want to meet your need right where you're at. And then when we look beyond that, we tend to say, well, God, where are you? When he says, you know, all I want to do is just meet your need right where you're at. But he still believes in our future. You understand what I'm saying with that? So some of you right now maybe say, you know what, I got to trust in God for finances. So pray that God will open doors when doors need to be opened. Speak the word of God. Speak the promises of God. Trust in, and then allow God to work based on his timing, not your timing. Because what we tend to do is we want to microwave God. I want it in 2 minutes. Right? Okay. All right, faith. Mark 9:23. Susie and I never understood what faith is. But when we made that decision in our early Christian walk, we were consuming the Word of God, and this is when faith started to resonate based on what God's Word says, not what man's Word says. Speaking into those other things that I just talked about, faith, in Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. That's what Jesus said. I'm not accountable for your faith walk. You're accountable for your faith walk. But as a shepherd, I'm going to share the word to encourage you to live a faith walk in Christ. I'm going to do everything that I can by the anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit to persuade you to know what the promises of God are in his word. I'll do whatever I can to encourage you to trust in God. But ultimately, it comes down to you wanting to do it. Just like Susie and I, we're going to believe in God, ask for me and my house will serve the Lord. It's part of our life. We're getting the word. We're planting the word. Does it mean I understood the word all the time? Nope. But we sure wanted to have faith in God. Amen. You and I have to believe wonderful things happen to us, listen, when we live by faith with expectancy, and when we believe confidently, and when we pray affirmatively, meaning with a positive approach. It's got to line up with the Word of God. Once we understand the Word of God, then we can pray those promises in line with God's Word. So, for example, I talked about fear. Father God, I thank you that you've never given us the spirit of fear. You've not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. Father God, right now, you know what I'm going through. Lord, I thank you that my mind isn't captured by the fear of this possibly happening. But Father God, I believe and trust in you. You've given me a sound mind. Lord, I thank you that I can do all things through Christ. Even though I'm challenged with this, I'm going to stand in faith in the promises of God and what your spoken word says. And I come against that fear. And I trust in the Spirit of God and the Word of God to lead me and guide me in this decision or this thing that I'm going through. See, God has given us the opportunity to pray his word. We study his spoken word, which is Rhema. So if you're to turn to Matthew 4:4, we know that when Jesus, he went out in the desert, he's led by the Spirit out there, and when after 40 days and 40 nights, we know that Satan came to him, and Jesus said, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, but he said and answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That should be instruction right there for you and I as believers, right? So we also see is the written word is logos. So we have Rhema and then we have logos. In Acts 19:20 it says, so the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. So when we think of the logos, it is the Bible, the word of God in its entirety. Everything that he had spoken and is written, inspired by God. God, remember, I told God breathe. Inspired by God. That this is the word written in its fullness. Rhema is the said or spoken and utterances. And I want us to understand this. The message, this will never change. This is a logos. It is the message, but the rhema is the verses of the Bible that brings communication of that message. Amen? So this in its entirety, which the world's saying, you don't need the Bible. Yes, we do. This is the written word of God that we need to pay attention to. Why do we need to pay attention to it? Because Jesus said, it is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So the entirety of this word is here. But now guess what? We get to hear the message that will literally transform our life. He's not going to change his word just for us. It's spoken, it's written, it's everything's right here. But we hear the message and it transforms our life. This is a $25 gift card right here. It's a fact. This is the challenge that I gave the church. Pray the word for your church. This is $25. This is $7.99. This is more, costs more than this book right here. All right, what's your point, Pastor? You know, people would rather have this than this. I don't want to pray. But you know, the flesh will say, this will only satisfy for a little while. But this, understanding what the promises of God, will affect your life into eternity. All right? It's the truth. Now I'm going somewhere with this. This $25 gift certificate is redeemable at a store near you. Where this is a book about prayer that will transform your life forever. This is temporary. This is eternal. Right? Just a little fact. 2019, there was $27 billion gift cards that were given out last year. 2019, $27 billion worth of gift cards sent out. 2016, $1 billion was not redeemed. $1 billion. Now, I'm not going to have you show your hands because I'm guilty too. How many have never redeemed a gift card? Okay, here's the question. When Jesus died on the cross and gave us the promises of God all through the Bible, how often have we not redeemed the promises of God that's written in His Word? We'll put more faith in this because we can go to a store near you then go directly into the presence of God, the throne room of God, the creator of the universe that has called us to commune with Him every day, that we are part of His life and He's part of our life, and yet we'll put the things of the flesh before the things of the Spirit. Redeemed is to get back or pay off. How many promises of God that are in His Word have not been redeemed because of the lack of prayer? Just looking back in my life, and I'm sure in your life, life would have been better if we just prayed more. The good news is, starting today, we have the ability to pray more. And my encouragement to you is, study God's Word, believe in His Word, and believe in the power of prayer. God is waiting to hear from you.